The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. This week's Parsha is Parshas Va'era. The beginning of the Parsha, Va'idaber Elokim El Moshe Va'yomer Elov Ani Hashem. Hashem said to Moshe, I am Hashem, I am God. Va'era El Avraham El Yitzchok Ve'El Yaakov Bikel Shakoi. I have appeared before Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov in the name of Kel Shakoi. Ushmi Hashem Leinedati Lahem. But the name, my name of the shame, which is known as Shem Havaya, Yudke Vavke, Leinedati Lahem, I did not make known to them. Megama ki Messias Brisi Tom Leseis Lahem Es Eretz Kanaan. And I also established my covenant, my bris with them, to give them the land of Canaan. Es eretz migureim asher goruvo, the land which they are sojourning in. Now, what is this referring to? I have appeared to Avraham, to Yitzchok, to Yaakov, with the name of Kel Shad. That's the Shin Dalad Yud, with one name. But the name of Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei, I didn't make known to them. Rashi brings that this is connected to the previous Parsha, which we left off with at the end of Shmos. In Pasuk Tes, Rashi says, Rabbi Seinu Dorshu. What took place then at the end of Shmos? HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe and Aaron to go to Pare. If we look in Shvi, it's in Perikei Posuk Aleph. And they must go to Pare. This is after speaking to the Zkenim, to all the elders of the generation that Hashem has come to redeem them finally. Ba'achar bo Meshav Arayin va'yimr al Pare. Then they came to Pare. Ko amar Hashem elakei Yisrael. This is what Hashem, the God of Israel, has said. Shalach es ami v'yachog li b'amidbar. Send out my nation so they can celebrate and bring sacrifices to me in the desert. Now Hashem had told Moshe, had asked Hashem by the snare, by the burning bush. First of all, he said, who am I to go to speak to kings? Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you're not speaking on your own behalf, you're speaking on my behalf. Then he said, and why are you so convinced that Parai will listen to me? And Hashem said, he will listen to you. You have to be a gibor. Bishlichusi, you have to be strong because I am sending you on a shlichus to do my work. So they came to Pare, and Pare didn't listen to them. Bayema Pare totally ignored them. Mi Hashem, Asher Eshma Bekelei. Who is this God that I should listen to his voice? Mashalach es Yisrael, to send out Israel. Lo yadati es Hashem, I don't know this God. V'gam es Yisrael le'ashaleach. And I will not send out Israel. I will not send them out. So they repeated it. They said that the God of the Hebrews have come to us. And they said that we must go out. You must let us go out. Otherwise, you will suffer very severe consequences. They warned Paro. And Paro answered, why are these two coming and disrupting the nation from all of their work? Go back to your burdens. And then Pare said, he commanded on that day, you shall not give the nation straw to make bricks anymore, like you did. Let them go and gather their own straw. And the amount of bricks that they had to make, you shall not minimize it all. It has to be the same. What does the word nirpim mean? The Targum says batlonin. They're batlonin. It means they are idle. They have time to be idle. Al kein heim tzoakim lemon eilchon nizbocha lelakeinu. Because they're idle, therefore they say, they're thinking about all kinds of other things, let us go sacrifice to our God. Tichbar ho avaydo al anoshim b'yasubo. Make the work heavy on them. Val yishu b'divrei shoker, let them not speak about lies. So the Noksei, ha'om, b'sheter of those who were commissioned over the nation to see that the work was done, and these were other Hebrews that were commissioned over them. They came and they told them. And if the same amount of bricks were not made, then the Noksim were punished, those who were over them. Mayuku Shaitu b'nei Yisrael asher soma aleihem nekzei pare lemor. And the people said, what are you doing to us? You do not give a straw to make the bricks, and you tell us to make the bricks in the same amount. When the Noksim, when those who were appointed over the nation, met Pare, they said, Yer Hashem aleichem v'yishpait. You have made things worse for us. What did you come and talk to Pare for? Before, we had it much easier than we have now. So Moshe returned to Hashem and he said, Hashem loma hare osa l'om azeh. Why have you done evil to this nation? And loma zeh shilachtonu. And why have you sent me? In other words, he was saying, this is like I said to begin with. What should I go for? Pare won. Who am I to speak? Who am I to speak to kings? And secondly, Pare won't listen to me. He'll totally ignore me. But not only that, he made it worse. Umeos bosi al Pare ledabe bishmecho heira loma zeh. From the time that I came to speak to Pare in your name, he has made it worse. Not only you have not saved your nation. So this brings us up to where we are now in Parshas Va'era. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered Moshe, the last pasuk of Shmos, by saying, "Vayema Hashem al Moshe, atos sire, asher ese lefarei. Now you will see what I will do to Pare. Ki v'yod chazok yishalchem, v'yod chazok yigoshem me'atzoi. With a strong hand he shall send them out, and with a strong hand he shall chase them out of their land." Rashi brings at the end of Shmos, and then again in Pasuk Tes and Parshas Va'era, that actually Hashem was rebuking Moshe very strongly, very strongly. He said, "Hatosire, now you shall see." What does it mean now? "Hirharto al midesai." You have given second thoughts. You have doubted my actions. You have doubted my actions. Therefore, now you will see. But you will not see what I'll do to all of the nations, to the seven nations that occupy Eretz Yisrael, when Klal Yisrael conquers the land, because you will not be there. See, very strongly rebuked Moshe, and Moshe suffered from this. And he said, Leika Avram, Shomati Lei, Kibi Yitzchok Yikor El Chozera, Zora, Ba'achakako Mati Lei, Ha'aleo Le'elo, Ba'lehira Achere Midoisai. Not like Avraham. Avraham, I told him that you will have a son, Yitzchok, and through Yitzchok a whole new nation will be born. And then, later I tell him that he has to sacrifice the son. And he didn't come with a complaint. He didn't come to doubt my words. So therefore, you shall not bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. Now, this is a continuation of it now. And Rashi brings in Pasuk Tes in the middle. Rabbeinu Dorshu, Linyan Shilmala. Rabbeinu expound this in regards to what took place before. That's what we just read. Moshe says, why did you send me? I said you shouldn't send me. I can't talk to kings, and secondly, he will not listen to me. And not only that, now you sent me, and it's worse. Omale HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chaval al Ovdin v'lemishtachin. Chaval, it's so unfortunate, such a misfortune on those that used to live and they're not here anymore. Yeshli lis'einen al misas oves. I must be very, very sad because of the death of the forefathers. Harbe pomim niglesia lehem, be in the name of Kel Shakai, ve le omruli mashmecho. Many times I appear to them in that name, and they never ask me what is my name. And bato amata mashmai, and you wanted to know what my name is, and I revealed to you my full name, the Shem Havaya Yud Kei Vav Kei. And when I promised Abraham, I told Abraham to leave his homeland. Uproot yourself. Separate yourself from your home, from your family, from your land, and go to a strange land. And this land I'll give you. And still, when it came time to bury Sora, he couldn't even find a burial place until he bought it with a great deal of money. And Yitzchok was supposed to get even more land. And every time he dug a bor, a well, they came and they took it away from him. And Yaakov, he had to buy. He was supposed to get all of the land. And he had to buy a piece of land for himself. When he came back from his from the house of Laban. And after all of this, lahiru al midaisai, they never came to complain to me. And vato mata lama hare osa. And you come, and you are complaining now, and you're saying, why did you send me? Why did you do this? You have made it worse for the nation. We see that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us to do something and he promises, we have to do it. We cannot complain. We can't try to second guess or have second thoughts. And we have to accept what is done. Because not always, the fact is more time than not, we do not understand the full intentions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu or the full intentions of the act. To us it might look that it's going haywire, this is not what we expected. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has his own plan. And if he says something, he's ne'am al-mishalim. He's good for it. He will come through. There's a medrash, we brought it on Shabbos. The medrash says, Ashri Adam Asher Yasreko Ko U'Beseirosko Selamdenu. Happy is a person, fortunate is the person who HaKadosh Baruch Hu afflicts, and he will learn from the Torah. Now the Medrash says a different shot, a different interpretation than the normal one. He says, it says, fortune is the person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will afflict, and he will look in the Torah how to deal with these inuyim, how to deal with this affliction. What does it mean? Look at Abraham. Kodesh Baruch Hu told Abraham to totally uproot himself from his past, from his father, from his family, from his land, and come into this land of Zovas Cholavot Vosh, which is flowing with milk and honey, and I will give it to you. What happened immediately? Vayirav Ba'aretz. Avram wasn't there before there was a famine. Vayir Mitzrayim. And he had to leave the land and he had to go down to Egypt. And what happened with all the promises? And what happened in Egypt? His Sarah. Sarah, that was a princess. That's where her name comes from. She was a queen. She was abducted by Parai. She was taken away by a foreign king, and Avram never knew if he would see her again. He didn't complain. Yeah, Kodesh Baruch Hu was telling him, leave, come to this land. I'll make it good for you. And this is what happened. And Velayhira Almidesai. And still he never complained or had any bad thoughts about what I instructed him to do. That's why it says, Chabal Al the Abdim Lemishtachin. How unfortunate it is on the Kadmonim, on those that used to live, that quality that they're not here and they can't be here anymore. It was a different quality, a different type of person. This is what is meant. Ashri Adam Ashe Yasreka Ko Ubiseiroska Salamdem. Fortunate is the person when he has affliction, he learns from the Torah how to deal with it. This is what Hashem told Moshe. Now he said that I appeared to them with the name of Shin Dalet Yud. Ushmi Hashem, but the name of Havaya Yud Ke Vav Ke Lei Nedati Lohem. I did not make known to them. What does that mean? Not only that, it would seem that whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to the others, to the patriarchs, he came to them in that name, and he didn't use the name Yud Ke Vav Ke. But this is not true. In Parshas Lech Lecha, Perek Tes Vav, Posuk Zayin, states explicitly, Vayome Elov, Ani Hashem, Shem Havaya, Yud Ke Vav Ke, Asher Hotziacho Mi Ur Kazdim, that has taken you out of Ur Kazdim, Loseis Locha Eretz Hazeis Lirushto, to give you this land for inheritance. So what does it mean that I appeared to the others with the name of Shin Dalet Yud, but they didn't know my name of the Yud Kevovke, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's full name? That's why Rashi says, not that I didn't make it known to them. They knew it. But lo nikarti lahem. They never saw it in action. Why? Because the quality of that name is the quality of Ne'amon la'amash dvorai, Ne'amon la'shalim skor. The quality of the name of Yud-Ke Vod-Ke means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Emes. And that they never saw. They saw a lot of promises, but they never saw the promises fulfilled. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu means. Always I came to them with the name of Shin Dalet Yud. That name represents promises. But the fulfillment of the promises they didn't see. The fulfillment of this land becoming theirs and the nation growing, they never saw that. In fact, this Yaakov, he died in Egypt. So Shem Havayo Leinidati Lehem. They never saw the name of Yud Kei Vov Kei, which represents Hashem Elokeichem Emes, I am true. Whatever I say is true. This is what the Chazal tell us. Now, what is the beer in this? Or what is the explanation? The Maral says as follows in the Gurayi. He says the word Shin Dalet Yud, the name Shin Dalet Yud, that represents Havtocha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promises. Why? That word, the sages tell us, comes from the word Dai. That I have sufficient capability. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes promises. When anyone makes promises, you want to know what's backing up the promise. So he tells you, he has sufficient capability. But that's not enough, you want to know for sure. Someone comes to borrow a lot of money from the bank, they're not going to lend on promises. They're going to want to know are you capable of repaying? What's backing it up? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he makes a promise, he uses his shame, Shin Dalet Yud. You don't have to ask me if I'm capable. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is capable of fulfilling every promise and making sure that not one Nivra, not one creation, lacks the reward which he should get. That's why Shin Dalet Yud represents Havtocha, promises. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that name, Hashem said, the Obes, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov saw plenty of. They saw plenty of promises. But the fulfillment of the promises, they didn't see. The name Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei, that represents the fulfillment of the promises. Many places in the Torah, when it states Ani Hashem, the Chazal Darshan, Ani Hashem Ne'amon L'Shalim Schar, I am trustworthy to pay the promises. That represents his trustworthiness, not his capability of promising or his potential to fulfill, but that represents that he will fulfill. Why? Why does that represent that he will fulfill? So on this, we will mention two biurim, which are both in the Maral. One is the shame Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Torah tells us means, what does it mean? It means Hoya, Hove, the Yia. This is what he told Moshe. Eya. Hoya, I was, Hove, I am, Yia, I will be. Past, present, and future. Past, present, and future, if someone is past, present, and future, like only HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't represent three stages. That represents one stage. That means that there is no concept of time by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because time is constantly moving. Time is there's a separation between time. What happens now almost immediately is in the past. And then what happens moves to the past, from the present to the past. And what hasn't happened is in the future. This is time. Time doesn't stand still. And the reason for that is actually, if you give thought to it, time is the measurement of movement. The whole concept of time is we measure movement. The time is governed by the sun and the solar system and we are constantly measuring the movement of the solar system. It's tenua. So time is constantly moving. And when something is constantly moving, it goes by you. It's here. Before it was in the past, now it's here. And in the next instant, before it was in the future, and now it's here. And in the next instant, it's in the past. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he was Hoya, Hoveviya, that means that the concept of time is not by him. He doesn't move. And it's all one. The whole stretch of time is all one by him. Now, this means there's no change, there's no shinui. We live in what is known as an Olam HaShinui, a world that is constantly under the influence of change, because the world in essence is a constantly moving world. Physically it's a moving world. The solar system never stops. And because of that, spiritually also it's a moving world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so we live constantly under change. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't change. If he doesn't change, then that's emes. Because sheker comes from changing. The Gemara always refers to someone who lies as a meshane b'dibure. He's changed his word. He said one thing and he did another thing. And therefore, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the name Havayu represents that there's no change by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If this is what he said, says he's going to do, then he will do it. This is what is meant when he said that to the Oveis, I only showed them my name, Shin Dalet Yud. Shin Dalet Yud means that I'm capable of promising and fulfilling. I'm Dai. I have all the capabilities. So I made many promises to them. But Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei Havayu Lein Leidati Lehem. They never saw that. They never saw the fulfillment of the promises. The other quality of that name, of this name, where I am Maftiach U'Meshalim, I not only promise, but I fulfill exactly the promise, because there can be no change by me. If we want to go into this even a little deeper, the Shem Havayo, Yudke Vovke, is referred to as the full name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means that this is the name which best represents his very essence. A name identifies what something is. If we want to identify what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, then the name Havayah will identify it. It doesn't only, all of the other names identify only a midah, a particular quality, a particular aspect of his. But this represents, this identifies what and who HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. What is his essence? The Rambam brings that the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is he is the Mitzius and Emes that everything comes from. Truth doesn't only mean not lies, but truth means reality and essence. The antithesis to truth is not only lie, but fiction. For example, someone writes a fiction novel, can't say he's writing lies, but he's not writing anything which is real. So it's not emes, it's not sheker, but it's not emes. Emes means what is real, what is reality. It's known as mitzius. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rambam writes, is the only reality in the entire creation, or before creation, the only reality. Why? Because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would vanish, If we could say such a thing, everything would vanish. If everything in the world would vanish, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't. Who ain't a tolly b'hem, b'hakol tolly b'ay. Which means that all reality that we see comes from one source, which is the reality of all reality. And the Rambam says, that's why it states, Hashem Elohim Emes. Ein amitosoi. Dome, or there's no Emes in the entire world that's like his Emes. All the other Emes is not a real reality because it is totally reliant on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reality. And therefore, we have what we say, Kadmain lechol dover asher nivro. He was before everything was created. What was before him? He was before everything was created. But what was before him? Rishain ve'ein reishis l'reishisoi. He was first, and there is nothing first before him. Or we say, v'acharei kichleis hakol levadoi yimleich nora. After everything will vanish, he will still rule. Now, therefore, if we want to describe the actual entity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the actual essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it'll be that he is what we could call real in the world, in the creation. Everything else leans on him. This is what the Rambam says means, ein od levadoi. Besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is no real reality, because everything is taken from his reality. And this is the explanation of the word emes, in its fullest sense. In other words, not only to exclude something which is a lie, which certainly is not a reality, but even to exclude something which is fiction. And therefore, since the Shem Havaya, the Yud Kei Vav Kei, is the full name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's his full description, it's going to come to the very core of Hashem as much as we can understand. And therefore, it represents Emes. So this is a deeper explanation in that I appear to them, Mikael Shaddai, with my name, Shin Dalad Yud, which gives me the right to promise the world, because I'm capable of paying it. But Shem Havaya Leini Karti Lohem, Leini Dati Lohem, but I never showed them my Shem Havaya, that I'm Emes, that I pay up. Because all the promises that I made to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they were not fulfilled. They didn't get Eretz Yisrael, and so forth. And still, they never came to complain to me. From here, we learn, first of all, that we can't doubt. We must not ever doubt the actions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we don't have to worry if he will be Nemon L'Shalim Shchar. Ani Hashem, Yudkei Vovkei, Havaya, I am the ultimate of reality and Emes, Nemon L'Shalim Shchar. You can believe me. It could take a long time, it could take a short time, that's his cheshbonos, these are his calculations. That's the first thing. The second thing, from here we see how careful a person has to be when it comes to bimishana bidiburei, when it comes to making promises and not fulfilling them. Because we have to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's qualities. And if he's the essence of truth, and like we said, there's no change by him, If a person is a person that says things, he makes commitments, he makes promises, but he doesn't fulfill them. Like the Gemara says, a mashana b'divurei. This is just contrary to the very essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is why it says that one of the states, Dalet Kita is Einu Mekablim Pnei Shechina. There are four groups that cannot, that will not enjoy the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This means they cannot identify with them. And one of them is a Katshel Shakronim. Those people who do not keep their word. And the Gemara says, a mishana b'diburei mutali kreis rosho. Someone who doesn't keep his word, you have a right to call him a rosho. Even though to call someone a rosho is a very serious offense. But there the Gemara says that's justified. This is what we see from here. Go to another point. In Pasuk Zayin, excuse me, in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Gimel, Hashem sent Moshe and Aaron to speak to Paray. Bani akshes lev Paray, and I will harden the heart of Paray. And I will multiply my wonders in Eretz Mitzrayim. Ve'yishma aleichem Paray ve'nasati yeshodi b'Mitzrayim, and he won't listen, and I will bring great judgments to Egypt. Why does Hashem say, Vani ek akshe eslei paray? I will harden his heart. So Rashi tells us, in order that I can be laman harbe sesesesai, in order that I'll have the opportunity to bring all my wonders to Egypt. Because if he does tshuva right away, and he sends the people out, I won't be able to make wonders. I won't be able to bring the 10 plagues. I won't be able to split the sea. So therefore, I will harden his heart in order that he shouldn't do tshuva, in order that I'll have the opportunity to bring all my wonders and judgments to Egypt. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to bring all his wonders? So Rashi brings, V'sakiru es gvuraisai, in order that the people will see my great strength. And then he says, he goes further, and he says, V'chein midosi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so is the quality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe Parone Sarishe Evilchovim, he brings great punishments and tribulations to the evil of the idolaters, Kedei sheyishmu Yisrael v'yirovu, in order that Yisrael will hear and see, and from there they will do tshuva. Now, this seems kind of strange, because here HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to harden Paray's heart in order that he shouldn't do tshuva. Why? In order that he can bring all his, doesn't want him to do tshuva, so he can, because he can bring all of his wonders to Mitzrayim. What for? In order that everybody should be able to see them, and they'll see his great strength. And then we say that's the quality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now that doesn't seem right. First of all, why shouldn't he want Paray to do tshuva? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants everyone to do tshuva. Secondly, this is not midah keneged midah. All of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's actions are midah keneged midah. He gives exactly what the other person did, exactly accordingly. Here, if he hardens his heart, he's going to give him a lot more. Or what is, or so forth. So the Maral explains as follows. Pare, what did he say when Moshe came to him, Moshe Naran, first time? And that's what we just quoted. He said, this was in Shmosei Posuk Beis. Now this is a very important posuk. He said, this was the first, his first answer. Vayomer Pare, mi Hashem asher eshma bekolo. Who is this God that I should listen to his voice? L'shalach es Yisrael. Lo yadati es Hashem. V'gam es Yisrael le'ashaleach. I do not know this God, and Yisrael I will not, and also Yisrael I will not send out. He did two things. First of all, he refused to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, I will not send them out. But he did more than that. He said, I don't know of this God. Who is he? In other words, he denied the very existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. Now this is the greatest level of Chilul Hashem, where he denied publicly the existence of Hashem. So therefore, he desecrated HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. But more than that, the Maral says, he was the Melech, he was the king. And it states that the Melech is Libay Shala'am. The king is the heart of the nation. That means that the king's position influences the actions and the thinking of the entire nation. A king molds the nation, and he motivates the nation. If Pare is denying the very existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that means the nation will deny the very existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If Pare is being Mechal Hashem Shemaim, he's desecrating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name publicly, that means the nation will do that. Not only that, but more. Pare very likely was one of the most mightiest kings in the world. Because this takes place not many, many years after Yosef's death. And Yosef, we brought from the Medrash of Rabbi Kiva, ruled over the entire world. It states the famine went through the whole land, the whole world, and Yosef became the ruler. So Pare was one of the mightiest kings in the world. And that means that he turned the whole world against Hashem. And to deny the very existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He brought Chilul Hashem to the whole world. Now, if that's the case, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Mida Keneged Mida. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is Mida Keneged Mida. That means he reacts to the person the same way that person reacts to him. If from you, Pare, came a Chilul Hashem, a desecration of my name in the whole world, then from you will come a Kiddush Hashem, a sanctification of my name in the whole world. You denied me in the whole world. The whole world will know of my existence because of you. And this is what is said in the beginning of next week's Parsha, Parsha's Bo. If you look in the beginning of Parsha's Bo, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Bei el Pare. Come to Pare, ki ani echbareti es libay ves lev avodov. I have hardened the heart, his heart, and the heart of his servants. I have stopped them from doing tshuva. I don't know from doing tshuva. I've stopped them from letting you go. I don't want them to leave you go. Leman shishi eisaisa ele bekirboi, in order to give me the opportunity to bring my wonders into the land. Leman tesapere beoznei bincha uben bincha eisashei salalti bematzrayim, in order that you will able to speak to your children and your children's children, and the whole world will talk about it, the way I sported with this king. Salalti means sported. the way I took the most powerful king possibly in the whole world, who claimed he didn't know who I was, and I sported with him. And they will talk forever about Osaysa Ashe Samtivom, the wonders I brought to Egypt, and how I destroyed the whole land. Now, actually this answers a question for us. Because the purpose here was to take Klal Yisrael out of Egypt. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have done it keherev ayin. He could have done it just like that. What did he need this whole process for? It took a year. Just about a year, because it states that every plague took a month. So what did he need it all for? This was the reason. Now, from here we can understand what is said further. We say that Rashi brings Kein Midosai. This is the Mid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He brings great tribulations, great afflictions to the evil nations of the world in order that Klal Yisrael should see and return to him. This means that even when, if the nations of the world are, they are accountable for punishment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes them in a way that everyone will see through great world upheavals, in order that Klal Yisrael will do tshuva. Now, why? Because these nations have caused the Chilul Hashem, and these nations have caused Klal Yisrael to go away from him, because they constantly persecute Klal Yisrael. When David HaMelech was being persecuted by Shaul, by King Saul, he said, I'm a constant fugitive. I can't study Torah. You're pushing me to the brink of forsaking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because if we cannot study Torah in peace and fulfill mitzvahs, he says that the next step is Averis Oras, idolatry. They constantly persecute Klal Yisrael. They bring idolatry to the world. They conceal HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that as long as Amalek is in the world, my name is never complete in the world, because of their kfirah, because of their denial and their atheism and everything else. They bring darkness to the world. So they cause Klal Yisrael to go away. If they're the cause, so then Mida Kenegan Mida, they will bring Yisrael back. Therefore, when I punish them, I will not do it low profile. It will be with world calamities. And then Klal Yisrael will see, and this will bring Klal Yisrael back to me. And Rashi quotes the Novi in Sefanya, Peregimel Posik Bovin Zain. Hichrati Goyim Noshamu Pinosa. I have cut down the nations. I have destroyed their great towers and skyscrapers. Echrafti chutzesam mibli over. I have made their great marketplaces and public squares desolate. Nitztu orehem mibli ish. Their cities have become empty. Me'en yoshev. Omati achtiri osi. I said, fear me. Tikhu Musa. Take Musa. Take a rebuke from this. In other words, when you see something like that happen, learn from it. V'leikores mi'ona kol asher pakadati aleho. And you will not be cut off. So you will not be cut off from all that I have promised you. Now, one more question. This is all well if the nation is guilty and they won't do tshuva. But why did Hashem harden Paro's heart and not give him an opportunity to tshuva? And that Rashi brings and this posuk bani akshes le parai miachas yirsiu vihis kehisis kenegdi. After he sunk to such a great level of wickedness and he stood up defiantly against me, here the king of a world, to say, who is this God? I don't know him. Goloi lefonai shein nachas ruach beumai sevi chovim lo seis lev sholem lo shuv. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I know that he will never do tshuva with a full heart. If he does decide to let you go, that will only be because of the pain that I inflict on him. But he'll never do tshuva with a full heart. So therefore, tov li shizkash liboi. Therefore, I might as well harden his heart and not allow him even to send you out because of the affliction. Leman harbeis bei aseisai, in order that I can bring my wonders to Egypt, besakiru es gvurasai, and that they will recognize my great powers. So therefore, Kodesh Baruch Hu saw in Parai, Davar Baruch, he's not going to be shoved to me. I can strangle him and wring his neck until he does, but that's not a tshuva melei. He's not going to want to do tshuva. So therefore, he says, there's no purpose in giving him the opportunity. He will not use it. I could finish him off immediately, but then I won't have the opportunity to do what I should do. He brought a Chilul Hashem to the whole world. Through him will be sanctified my name in the whole world. Therefore, I will harden his heart, and this will prolong the process where I can bring one wonder after another wonder to Egypt, and the whole world will hear about it. Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, Shomam Yugozov, Chiloch Hashesh Vipaloshes, the whole world knew of it. In order to show my wonders, and then he, through him, he'll be the instrument. He was the instrument that defied me and desecrated my name. He'll be the instrument that'll be Makadish my name, that will sanctify my name. And this is the Midah Keneged Midah. Now there's the question, though. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu foresaw this, he's not going to do tshuva. So why did he only harden his heart after the first five makas, the first five plagues? States only in the Torah, it says that the first five plagues Paray hardened his own heart. After the first five, Hashem hardened. Why? So this is another principle the Maral brings. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu does justice, he wants it to be seen. So he had to show the world that he wouldn't harden his heart, that he would not do tshuva. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu would know that right away, but the world doesn't. And then they could have, doesn't's not just, you didn't give him the opportunity. So therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Paray the opportunity to do tshuva. Five times. And he didn't. Now the whole world saw it. Now not only did he, what he did was just, but La'ameis dvorim, dvorav labriyas, but to show that there was truth and just in him to the whole world, that he only hardened his heart after the first five. And that also, the Maral brings us Midah Keneged Midah. He hardened his heart against me for five plagues. Now I will harden his heart for the next five, the five against five. So this is the explanation in this. We'll go to one further point. This is a point that excuse me. We've elaborated it on this many times in the past years. In fact, is this point, one aspect of this point we even mentioned, I think it might have been last week. We'll just make a short observation on it. Just bring some of the sources. And that is also a very, very important point. In Pasuk Yutes, it states, Vayom Hashem al Moshe, excuse me, Emor el Aren, Kach Matcha, Unete Yotcha al Meme Mitzrayim. Hashem said to Moshe, speak to Aaron that he should take the staff and he should stretch out his hand over the waters of Egypt and be you dumb. And from here blood will come. Question is asked, why Aaron? Why not Moshe? Rashi says, Lefi shehegina yor al Moshe kishenishlach l'seche. Since the river protected Moshe when he was an infant, his mother put him in a basket and hid him in the brush in the river. Therefore, lefichach leiloka al yodai. Therefore, Moshe did not strike the river. Lebedam belebitzvadim. Not in the first two plagues, the blood and the frogs, in order not to strike back at something which did good for him. Beloka ide Aaron, but it had to be done. So Aaron was appointed, because it never did good for Aaron, it did good for Moshe. Even in the third plague, was also given over to Aaron, because that was kinim that came out, this was the lice which came out of the soil, of the dirt, of the sand, and the sand protected Moshe. When he killed the Egyptian, he concealed him in the sand. And therefore, Moshe was not to strike the sand either. Here we see two kiddushim. Firstly, we see the hanhoga of, it's known as Derech Eretz HaKoros HaTov. How a person has to be appreciative that if something did something good for you, then you're not allowed to be Mashal Barot HaKasteva, to pay it, him or hit back with something which is not good. A person has to be appreciative. So appreciative. Could there have been anything more important? I mean, many times you say, yeah, but it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. Could there have been any greater mitzvah than this? This was the mitzvah which was going to bring Paro in Egypt to their knees in order to bring Klal Yisrael out to come to Har Sinai to receive the Torah and then to go on to conquer Eretz Yisrael. Could there be any greater mitzvah? Or this was the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu was rectifying the Chil Hashem, brings Kiddush Hashem as the greatest mitzvah in the Torah. Chil Hashem is the worst. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is rectifying the Chil Hashem and making it a Kiddush Hashem. We shouldn't worry about those things. No. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, not Moshe, Aaron. So we see how far this goes. Of HaKoros HaTov, appreciation. Fact is, I mentioned this many times, but Rav Hutner, Zichrono Livracha, he writes in a place that he had an opportunity to learn by many Gedalim. He was from Warsaw. And there he learned by Pelish Gedalim. Then he learned Slobodka, and he became a very close Talmud to the Alter of Slobodka. And then he went to Eretz Yisrael, and he became a very close Talmud to Rav Kook. The fact is that Rav Kook's nephew said, when he was here, he said that Rav Hutner was the greatest Talmud from Rav Kook. So he, and plus in Eretz Yisrael, he met many in the Litter. So he had the opportunity to come close to many of the Gedalim of the past generations. And he writes that with his experience with the Gedalim, if they would see in a person, no matter who he was, a quality of not being able to show appreciation to someone that did good for him. As far as they were concerned, they didn't want to have anything to do with this person. They didn't care who he was. Right? Didn't care who he was. Goy, Yisrael, Godel, he could be a great gaon. They didn't want anything to do with him, as far as they were concerned. Right? I would say, because you can mention it. This is not a man. This is not a person. This is what he writes in the place. This is what he saw by the Gedalim, by the true Gedalim. But here is a second chidush. There's even a greater chidush here. What are we talking about? If I do a good thing for someone, all right, he's got to show appreciation to me. But we're talking about water. We're talking about sand. You're talking about something which is totally inanimate, has no feelings whatsoever. Now, the Gurai brings on this a Gemara. What the Gemara learns from here, it's a Gemara in Baba Kama. What the Gemara says, "Lalam dochod derech eretz, biru de shosis minei al tish de bei kalo." That when you have a well of water that you use for a long time, and then let's say you get up in the world, you need a more modern well. You need bigger wells. So you start to dig bigger wells or modern wells. So you don't use this well anymore. Don't throw stones in it. Don't treat it with derech eretz. It gave you water all of these years. Now that you don't need it, all right, you don't need it. But don't disgrace it. And but it's totally inanimate. The proof will be from here. Because here we're dealing with water and sand. So you see, even when it comes to something inanimate, it's like that. And then there's a medrash, actually, there's a medrash, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Chaim Baruch, brings it in a shir, that by animals also. Medrash and Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Vayeshev, which we didn't learn too long ago, it states there when Yaakov sent Yosef to go look for his brothers, so he said, "Vayomer lo lech no re'e ashlem achicha ve'ashlem atzon." Go and see if all is peaceful with your brothers and peaceful with the sheep. So the Medrash says, "Eshlem achicha nicha." We can understand why he's asking about the peace of the brothers and with his sons. He must seek their welfare. Elamai v'eshlem atzon. You have to seek the welfare of the sheep. And not only that, in the same breath, seek the welfare of your brothers, these were the sheep they called, the great Shvatim, and the welfare of the sheep. Hado Omar, from here we see, the Medrash says, "She'odim tzorech lishol bishleim dover, she'ish behanom imenu." From here we see that a person has to seek the welfare and ask how they are on anything that he received benefit from. Your sheep, you get wool from. Your goats, you can get milk from. Your horse takes you places. Your donkey carries. Your dog guards your house. You have to seek his welfare. But Chaim Shmulevitz brings out in the same breath, put them together. So here we see even inanimate things and animals. And then one further point. Actually, we brought last week where when Hashem told Moshe to go on this great shlichus, this great mission, he said, I can't. Only if Yisrael allows me to. And that's why it states he returned to Yisrael to tell him. because Yisrael Bosach Beisaili. He opened up his house to me. I was a fugitive. I ran away. He opened up his house to me. He took me in. He gave me his daughter. What, I can just walk away? He said, I can't just walk away from him. He said, someone who takes you in, Chayv Lebenafshi, you have to, you owe him your life. But what do you mean you can't walk away? I mean, today people walk away at the drop of their hats. What do you mean you can't walk away? Kodesh Baruch Hu is telling you, go. And he's telling you what to go for, this great mission. But he says, I can't. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, you're right. Go back. This is not Derech Eretz, and this is not HaKodesh HaTov. Go back and ask him permission. And then, one final point. This also the Chaim Shmuel Levitz brings. In Parshas Pinchas, the Midyanim went and they snared the Bnei Yisrael. It's Okt and Aveira Zora, and so forth. And because of that, a whole Magefa came, and tens of thousands were killed. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, before you die, Tzror es HaMidyonim. Ba'achet te'osef elamai. Before you die, I want you to take revenge from the Midyonim. This is in Parshas Pinchas. This finally happens in Parshas Matos. Parshas Matos, it states that Moshe gathered an army, Elef Lamata, 1,000 from every tribe, and he put Pinchas in charge and told Pinchas, go and take revenge. Nekom Nikmas Hashem from Midian. Go destroy Midian. So the Medrash Yalkut Shimoni in Parshas Matos, Perek Lamed Aleph, in this Sefer it's Perek Lamed Aleph, Remes Tovshin Pehe, Os Ein Beis. Kodesh Baruch Hu Omar LeMoshe Nekom Be'atzmecho. Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't tell Moshe to send Pinchas. He said, you, Vayim Hashem Al Moshe Tzoror, you are the ones that should go and give Tzoros to Midian. Who gave you permission to send someone else? And also, Moshe, if a mitzvah came to him, he did it. But Moshe understood. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to go and destroy Midian, Moshe understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't mean that he himself must do it. He meant he must do it ayidei acherim, through commissioning someone else. Why? Because Ayidation is Gadol b'Midyan, Omer Eini Kedin Shani Meitzer L'Misho Oser Leiteva. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't mean that I should destroy Midyan. Midyan became my home. When Moshe ran away, Pare wanted to kill him. To kill him, the Egyptian, Moshe ran to Midyan, and Yisrael lived in Midyan. So this was the land that took me in. The land that took me in, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should command me to destroy it, cannot be. Therefore, he must mean I should see that it's destroyed. And I should charge someone to do it. And then he chose to select Pinchas, because Pinchas had started in the mitzvah already. And then it brings again, Amosh la'im ebeshes osis mimenu ma'im al tizrek be'evan. This is what the people say, that a well that you drank water from, do not throw stones into it. So here we see the great quality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands of their Eretz, in particular of HaKadosh HaTov, that one has to be Makir Tova, he has to recognize goodness that's done to him by others, and he has to repay it. He has to recognize it and repay it. And certainly he can't be Meshalem Ratach Estobah, to repay someone that did good for him with evil. And therefore, Moshe knew that this Aaron must do, not him. These are three important points that we mentioned on this parsha. One was in regards that Moshe, Kodesh Baruch Hu rebuked Moshe for complaining against him. He says, this is not like the others. I always made promises to them with my name, Shin Dalet Yud, but they never saw the fulfillment of these promises, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and yet they never complained. Then secondly, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu drew out this process for so long? Why he hardened Paro's heart? What was the purpose of all of this? And then thirdly, this quality of HaKadosh Atov.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.